Welcome to Authors Radio, Amplifying Voices, Inspiring the World. I'm your host, Alba Mireles, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome today's guest, Oda Maris Mendoza, the author of the book titled The Gifts of El Jibaro. We're here to celebrate your creativity and explore the world you crafted in this book. Oda Maris, thank you so much for joining us.
I am so excited to be here.
Thank you. So I always like to start with a question. If you can share a little bit about yourself and your journey into becoming a writer.
Well, that was completely unexpected, to be honest with you, because I trained as an educator. So I have been working as an educator for 34 years, and I started very young, and I love to interact with students and educating people in general. It's just one of my life's loves. So that's basically what I do. I actually had the idea of writing a book for, goodness, about 15 years ago, and I never had the time. You know, family things, you know, you prioritize your family and make sure they're taken care of. And, you know, that took a lot of time back then. But it just came up, it came to a point where I said, all right, I think I need to get started. So I set a goal for myself to begin writing at least a chapter a week, you know, because of work and situations like that. So it took me a while, but that is how I became a novelist. I was inspired by events in my family and events in my country. And I said, I'm going to put those together in a novel that's very entertaining. So that's what I did. That's how I became a writer.
That's nice. And when you think about your identity as an author, what values or perspective shape your writing the most?
Okay. With my background and all, I grew up in a very loving environment, and I was very observant as a child, still am, but I just like to see how people interacted with each other and how it makes such a huge difference when you have the element of kindness and grace towards people and trying to support them along the way. So that really stuck with me, and it influenced me as a writer, because I don't like to bring negativity to the world. I want to bring positivity to the world, and I want to remind people, hey, this is what it's all about. You know, you can make a difference, you know, even a small difference every day on how you treat others. So that was an inspiration to me.
Yeah, and your book, The Gifts of El Jibaro, is rich with cultural and, you know, historical layers. For listeners who might not yet be familiar, can you give us an overview of what the story is about?
Of course. Well, my story is about jibaros, and they are well known. I like to offer a parallel to what a jibaro is. So every country has their symbol. So they're like the living symbol of Puerto Rico, and have been so for many, many years. If you think of the Scottish people, they have their Highlanders, they have their culture, they live in the mountains, they're very well known. So we have, it's kind of like a Highlander, but in Puerto Rico, the Highlanders have their kilt, we have our hats. But it's the same mentality, I think, adapted for the Caribbean, right? It's their own culture, but they resonate throughout the island. So one of the things that I wanted to bring is a family that is a jibaro family. And just to give you a little historical background, traditionally, it's kind of a dichotomy, if you will. They are idolized and romanticized, but sometimes they're made fun of because they might be thought of as simple people, you know, maybe low economic status people. But here's the thing, they are extremely resourceful, and they have so many qualities that might be overlooked if you don't look close enough. So I decided to write a book about that. My father was a jibaro, a very fantastic jibaro, that's what I like to say. And being observant, I noticed all the values that they have and all the things that they can bring to the table. So that is why it's called The Gifts of El Jibaro. It's a family of jibaros that are exceptional. and they have the way that they interact with the world. It's kind of like a snowball of outrageous generosity of spirit and everything else. And it incorporates it takes place during the 1950s all the way to, say, 1989. And it does incorporate history, some historical events, some famous people along the way. It incorporates the culture, a little bit of the language, but don't worry, you'll know what's going on at all times. And the music.
And for you, what was the most important theme that you wanted readers to take away?
Well, I don't want to give away too much, but definitely the joy of giving. It just makes such a big difference, not only for you and your immediate people, but it sets a legacy for your family. Your kids are watching. You know, you only get one time to raise them. They're watching what you're doing, just like I did, you know, and what you do and what you put forth matters. So I want to make sure that the readers come out not only very motivated, but assured that everything that they do, all the good things that they do, will be a legacy for their kids and their descendants.
Yeah, and you know, writing about culture often requires like balancing respect for tradition with modern perspective. Like, how did you navigate that balance?
Okay, let me see if I understood what you said. You want me to talk about how I incorporated modern traditions with historic traditions? Did I get
that?
Yes. Okay. Well, I think these are timeless, to be honest. I think the elements of respect, like you mentioned, generosity, like I mentioned, being supportive of, you know, whoever comes into your way that you can assist in any way, that's important and that's timeless. I mean, you've seen that, you know, back in the day, that's how people survived. You helped each other, you know. So today, we're in a different world. It's highly technological. We're behind screens most of the time. I think we're losing that. With this generation, like I said, I interact with a lot of students. I work with high school students, and it's amazing. Like if you look from 10 years ago to this time, they are losing some of those things. And that's another motivator of why I wanted to write this book. I don't want kids our age to think, oh, you know, that person is over there on the other end of the world, you know, they're friends, but they're really not friends, you know? So I want to make sure that people bring that connection back, keep it, you know, that's important, you know?
Yeah. And also I have questions about like, you know, sometimes when you're writing about your roots and sometimes feel like vulnerability, you can feel like there's a lot involved there. That now that you are not in Puerto Rico, did you ever feel pressure about getting right when representing this culture?
No, I did not feel that pressure at all. My brother mentioned to me, he says, out of all of us, you're the most Puerto Rican still, you know, because I'm always listening. I'm always connected. Take in the news from the island. So I'm still, in a way, very much in the island, maybe not in presence, but definitely in soul and spirit, right? So I do not feel the pressure of that at all, because it's just something that you cannot turn off. For us, at least I'm speaking as someone from Puerto Rico, it's not something that you can turn off. It's you, it's in your being. So I did not feel that pressure.
And for this book, when you were writing, what was the most challenging part of the creative process, or, you know, the writing process? Sometimes it's hard, the time. I heard that you're working. And how do you balance all of that?
Yes, I work. And Most of the time, I write on the weekends when I'm more relaxed, but I'm trying to set, a time for myself. Usually, yeah, it's my family. They crack me up because they say that, I'm like a night person, like a night owl, if you will. But I write at night. That's my most creative time. So you'll find me with the music. I find inspiration typing away. But the challenging part for me was I'm very careful to make sure that what I write about, historically speaking, is accurate. So I spent hours and hours and hours of research, which, I love history. So that was not the hard part. It was picking and choosing what would be relevant for my book to make sure I got it just right. So that was really most of the challenge right there. But everything else came very easily because I did base a lot of things in actual things that happened in my family. And that part came very easily.
And when you were writing, did you find yourself learning more about Puerto Rican story or identity as you wrote?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like I said, I've always been connected, and I read everything that I can, everything that comes my way about it, I read it. But what I thought was quite amazing to me that I did not know, a whole lot about. It's like I knew my grandfather owned a coffee farm in the area of Ciales, which is the high mountainous region in the middle of the island, and I did not realize, though, that my family was in the coffee business, if you will, for centuries. So that was a shock to me. And I said, well, no wonder that explains why I love coffee so much. But there were certain things about the industry that I did not know. I'm actually working on my second novel right now, and it's going to incorporate that. I think it needs to be told, that story needs to be told. But that alone, and there were a lot of historical events that were largely like the workings of them were unknown to me. I knew about the event and things like that. For example, we used to have a train in Puerto Rico, and I'm fascinated by that because I don't know why they don't have a train to show the kids, hey, we used to have a train back when Puerto Rico belonged to Spain, and this is the route, and this is how they did this. And I think the kids would be fascinated to know about that. But that is one of the things I would like to incorporate too. I want to keep learning about it and bringing that forth so it doesn't get lost.
Yeah, that's awesome. And on the other hand, like, what was the most rewarding thing of writing this book?
Well, I tell you, I tear up, okay, because this is, I'm new at this, and I'm just, it's like a labor of love for me. I originally wanted to just have it for my family, but I was told, you need to publish this, And I have been bringing that forth, and the joy that I see when people see the book, their eyes light up, and then they start reading, oh my gosh, I want to know about this. And that right there, oh, I love it every time. It carries me, to see that people are so joyous when they see their people represented and a story that's not something that's ugly, out there, something that will bring them up. I think I get a lot of satisfaction from that.
And if someone reads The Gift of El Jibaro years from now, what lasting message will you want them to remember?
I think number one would be the generosity. Be generous, Be generous. Don't stop being generous. I think that's number one, because that is critical in that culture, the generosity. They may not have much, but what they have, they give, and they joyously give it. So I think that's key. We need to remember that in today's world.
And how has this book, like writing this book, changed you as a person?
Well, I always thought that I was going to be one thing throughout my life. But now I'm something completely different, And I feel like there is always there is always room for you to grow and reinvent yourself. So I think this book has done that for me. Again, I never set out to be a novelist. It just happened. And I think it was, like I said, a labor of love, and it just shows in the book. And it has transformed my life that way. I'm transformed now. I want to keep writing. I want to bring forth more positive messages and, you know, educate people in my own special way, you know, with my own special mix.
That's awesome. And many listeners are right now like writing themselves. What advice will you give that to someone who is like, who feels called to write but hasn't taken that step yet?
Okay, so sometimes like there are certain times in your life where like what happened to me, I was very overwhelmed. I was taking care of family members and things like that and working, and the timing for creativity is very critical. So I think when I started setting aside some dedicated time, basically scheduling myself to write, I think that's what did it for me. And I know there's a lot of moms out there who are very creative and they say, oh, I need to talk to you. How did you do that? I'm like, I'm not that special. You know, I just set aside the time and I stuck to it. Like sometimes I would be so tired and I'm like, okay, let me grab that music. Let me grab that coffee. And I would sit down and just showing up meant a world of difference, or made a world of difference in my case. So I think a lot of people struggle with just that. And once they get started, you can't stop.
Yeah. And do I know that you mentioned that you're working on a second book, but any future plans, projects that we like that you can share with our audience?
Well, I am visiting bookstores in, I live in the Central Florida area, so I'm concentrating there. I would like to visit many of the communities in the Northeast, perhaps in California, Texas, because I know that there's a lot of people who definitely would be interested in learning about it. And that's in my plans. I would love at one point, this would be like my all-time ultimate dream. I would love to have, if not a series or a movie about it. I'm told it reads like a movie. So I said, this would be such a fun movie because it has so many elements of culture. It's very rich and it brings it alive. And I think it would be a fun one. I would watch it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And finally, where can listeners find your book and connect with you to learn more about your work?
Well, my book is currently available in Amazon and is available in paperback and hardcover. I do have my own copies. If you're local in the Central Florida area, you know, if you'd like your sign, I'd be happy to do that. I love to interact with people and talk about, you know, my subject matter or the book, or just to chat. And you can find me at Instagram at Odemaris M, and in Facebook is just Odemaris Mendoza, and in X is at Odemaris Mendoza. My website is www.odemaris-mendoza.com, and I'm also on Goodreads, so I welcome your feedback.
Yeah, you're everywhere, and thank God you're there. And we're waiting. Really looking forward for the second book. And Odemaris, it has been a pleasure to having you on Authors Radio. Thank you for giving us a glimpse into your work, sharing your passion. And listeners, be sure to check her book. Thank you for tuning into Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. And join me next time for another inspiring conversation. In the meantime, happy listening.
Thank you.